it's becoming.
I'll try that again. All right. I know you need me to talk so you can adjust it, but I don't dare. All right. It's become a, I guess, a little bit of a tradition of mine to give kind of a message of renewal, I guess you could say, as we look toward the new year. So we are departing from our regular series through 1 Peter and have a bit of a topical message for you this morning. But as Jeff read from Matthew chapter 9, the passage there ends with some words from Jesus talking about the harvest. And let me just, I'll just ask you, and I'm wanting a response here, but what does the harvest mean in relationship to the gospel? Just somebody throw your hand up if you know. Elaine.
Unsaved Christians.
Okay, unsaved Christians actually becoming saved, right? Okay. So it's the proclamation of the gospel. We sang about singing his praises. We're going to look at a passage about praising him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But it is the reaping of souls unto eternal life. And of course, it's not our power that does that. It's the power of God. But we are the messengers. We are the laborers in that. And as we go about laboring, we need to know that there are a number of things that need to happen in a person's life to lead them to a place of being harvested. But being a laborer of the harvest is us, in some way, shape, or form, nurturing the truth of the gospel in a person's life to the degree that at some point they're ready to be picked, right? Ready to be harvested. My family, we had a peach orchard when I was growing up, and every spring the preparations would begin. It would start with the pruning of the trees and then spraying insecticides, consistent irrigation throughout the entire summer, spraying some more insecticides as the fruit comes on. And then finally, at the end of the summer, as the fruit became ripe, we would pick it. And there are numerous things that relate to that process and its likeness to us laboring, okay? Laboring in the gospel. But today I want to talk about our call to the harvest. Let me read that passage to you again that Jeff just read. Again, if you're in Matthew 9:35 through 38, I want to read it again here and pick some things out of it, and then we'll look at some other scriptures too as we make our way through this message here. But it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And just in introducing this topic here this morning, I want to point out three quick truths before we get into the actual outline here, but three truths right from this passage. The first one is this, the example that you and I are supposed to follow, the example is the Lord. Jesus went out to all the cities and villages teaching and preaching the gospel. That is what he came to do, to testify of the truth. In fact, in John 18:37, as Pontius Pilate asked Jesus why he's here, Jesus said, "I have come into the world that I should bear witness of the truth." And we know from other places in scripture that the truth that he was bearing was not only who he was, but the fact that he came to be the savior of us from sin, to be our shepherd even. So the example is the Lord. The motive, secondly, is the lost. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. They were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That's the world we live in. I mean, we live in a world where there are people all around us that are lost. I mean, completely lost, and they don't even know they're lost. So the example is the Lord. The motive is the lost, and the need is for laborers. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And that is my prayer for us this morning. As we begin this new year, I can only speak for myself, okay? But I feel like a lot of the situations and mindsets that I find myself in are common to many believers. Okay? So what I want to share here this morning is for me as much as it is for you. My prayer this morning is that we begin this new year knowing, being reminded that we are called to a harvest. We are called to labor in some way, shape, or form in that harvest. And my prayer is that we begin this new year with that reminder and a renewed desire to do it. To pray for opportunities to do it. To take those opportunities when the Lord presents them. Because he will. That's what he's telling us to pray. Jesus is. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. That's us going out there, praying for opportunities, taking those opportunities when they arise. My son is a foreman for a company that builds barns in the Midwest. And his job is to lead a team of 6 workers constructing these huge barns. And they're huge. I mean, some of them are the size of our piece of a property here. But over the course of his employment with this company, it's a large company, but it really hasn't been growing. It's pretty stable and kind of has stayed how it is. But over the course of his employment there, they have hired dozens and dozens of workers. Yet the business isn't really growing. So why are they hiring all of these new people? Well, it's because these new people quit or get fired. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to work. They want to get hired. They want a job. They want to have money, but they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything that they're told to do. In fact, he told me, he said he has actually had new hires come in and he will give them a task to do and they say, "I don't want to do that." Imagine me saying to you, "I'll do all of the duties of a pastor except for preaching, teaching, shepherding, and counseling. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And we have to know that it's not uncommon that people don't want to work even though they've been called or hired to do it. Well, it's coming around. We've been pointing fingers here for a minute, and they're going to come right back around and point right at us. Concerning the gospel harvest, Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There's lots and lots of work that needs to be done out there. But the laborers, the people who actually do the work, do the task, he says, are few. I dare say that there might be believers here who have never shared their faith. They've never shared the truth about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for a person's sins. Have you? Jesus says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray. My prayer, including for myself, because I get caught up in the day-to-day of even doing ministry and fail to recognize that person that the Lord has just put in my life that needs to hear the gospel. Pray that believers would understand this is what they're called to do. The harvest is why you're here. That's the name of our there it is right there. The harvest is why we're here. And my prayer this morning is that we might begin this new year, and yeah, you're allowed to start a few days earlier. Okay? But begin this new year with a renewed idea, even desire, compassion in our heart for the lost around us. And I want to give us three quick reasons to answer that call. Okay? We are called to the harvest. The harvest is why we're here. But I want to remind you of a passage we looked at in our first Peter study. And I think I've got this one on PowerPoint for you, but it's 1 Peter 2:9, where we're told there, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And here's the reason why, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're here to proclaim the praises of God who saved us. And what we're proclaiming really is you can be saved too. The gospel. All right. Here's the first reason to answer God's call. You have been picked. You've been harvested. You've been picked. Someone harvested you. At some point in your life, the truth of the gospel was shared with you. Seeds of truth were planted inside of you. They were nurtured. Lies were pruned out of your life. And at some point, someone led you to the Lord. Someone harvested you. Who was that in your life? Think about them for a moment. Maybe there were plenty of them, okay? Thank God for them, because they understood that they were called in the harvest, and they labored. But you've been picked. In fact, you were picked in a rather profound way because Jesus has chosen you. You are part, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, you are part of a chosen generation. God wanted you. Right here, right now, in this generation of people, God is choosing people to be part of His family forever, and you are one of them. Jesus has chosen you, and then Jesus has called you. According to this passage in 1 Peter, what have you been called to do? Proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous life. Marvelous light. To proclaim really means to tell forth, but there's a little more to it than that. It's to tell forth and celebrate. This is a joyous message. What does the gospel have to do with celebration? Well, it's the praise of Him who picked us. Harvest throughout history has been a time of celebration. In essence, we have been called, you and I who have been picked already, we've been called to invite everyone to the party. And a reason to answer God's call to the harvest is because, well, you were picked. You were picked. Second reason to answer that call is you have been prepared. And I'm going to call on that 1 Peter 2 verse again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. One of the most common excuses I've heard for believers not sharing the gospel is an excuse that I've used. Okay? I used it a long time ago, thankfully, but here's the excuse. I don't know enough about the Bible to share it. I don't have all of the answers. Well, I've been a Christian now for over 30 years and I don't have all the answers either. But you got there. You were picked, okay? You got to church this morning. In fact, I would dare say that there was a time when you'd never been to River Valley Bible Church before. And someone or something directed you here. In fact, I talked to someone here this morning. Google brought them here. All right? They looked it up on Google. And if someone, but you've made it here now, and you made it here for the first time at some point. But after that first time, if someone asked you the next day how you got here, you could tell them. Well, I looked it up on Google or so-and-so or here. I've been there once. I can take you there. And I say all of that because the testimony of your salvation, the fact that you went from darkness to light, is enough to prepare you to show somebody else how to go from darkness to light. Your testimony of salvation, your story, prepared you to labor. You know, if you've went from darkness to light, if you've placed your faith in Christ for salvation, you know exactly how that happened in your life. And therefore, you know enough to share it with someone else. About 15 years ago, now one of the grandparents that was attending River Valley Bible Church at that point in time, they sent their two grandchildren up to our junior camp or Bible camps that we run during the summer. And neither of these children knew the Lord. Their parents did not know the Lord, but these grandparents were rightly concerned for their grandchildren. So they sent them to camp that year. And both of these little junior campers ended up making a profession of faith that week. The very next Sunday, those two kids both came to church for the very first time, and right behind them were their parents. And my first introduction to their parents went something like this. I said, "Hi, I'm Craig." And they said, "Hi, what did you do to our kids?" They came home from camp, two completely different children, and all they can talk about is camp and Jesus. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus gave me heaven as a gift. So we just had, this is the parents speaking, we just had to come and see what it's all about. These two junior campers, in their own way, through their own story, shared the gospel with their parents. Their parents came to church, and it was about 2 months later, both of the parents made a profession of faith. But it started with a simple testimony from two kids who could have very easily have said, "We don't know enough." They did. They knew enough to plant those seeds, to labor. The testimony of your salvation prepared you to labor. The workmanship of Jesus Christ prepared you to labor. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So not only are we prepared to labor because of the fact that we went from darkness to light, but we are also prepared to labor because of Jesus' work in us. As a new creature in Christ, we are equipped instantly to do what he has called us to do. We're equipped with a new nature. The instant we place our faith in Christ, we are given a new nature that actually desires to please God and be useful for him. We are equipped with a new purpose, which should be pleasing God. We're equipped even with a new power. We have, upon the instant of salvation, placing our faith in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in us and empowers us to labor. And then we are equipped too with a new example. Of course, that example is Jesus. He's the model. Look to him. What did he do? We have everything that we need. Everything that we need to do what we have been called to do. I knew a guy years ago. I still know him. I just haven't seen him in a long time. But anyway, I knew a guy years ago who had a beautiful four-wheel drive pickup truck. He had it with the biggest engine available for that model. It had incredible ground clearance, well over 2 feet of ground clearance. It had top-of-the-line heavy-duty suspension. The tires were some of the heaviest cleated tires I had ever seen. It has a full-size bed for carrying lots of cargo. The thing looked like it could climb Mount Everest, okay? But he never took it off-road. Nor had he ever hauled anything in it. I saw this truck a couple years into his ownership, and the paint inside the bed looked as good as the paint on the hood of the truck. Here is a truck equipped for everything you would ever want a truck for. And I don't know that he ever even drove it on a dirt road. My guess is you might know somebody like that. Don't be that person concerning what we've been created for in Christ Jesus. We are equipped with everything that we need to labor in the harvest, to be used of God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're here to be used. That is what we've been prepared for. That is why we're here. Thirdly and lastly this morning, you have been placed. You have been placed. You are where you are right now because God wants to use you there. Here. Even Mesquite. The people in your life. The people at your school. The people at your job, the people at your church, the people in your neighborhood, and perhaps even the people in your home. You are where you are because God wants to use you there and in their lives. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul says this about really this subject we're talking about. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now the being sent in that passage can refer to being sent to another place, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 9, going to all these various villages and towns and preaching in the synagogues, but it can also refer to the people that are around you right now, in the place where you are right now. Either way, you have been placed where you are because God wants to use us there. And that Romans passage gives us a bit of a reverse order of things, okay? People call on whom they've trusted. People trust in whom they've heard of or have come to know. People hear because someone spoke. And people speak because they are sent. And all of that to say, you're sent. You're sent to share that good news. That's you. That's us. You have been placed. You have been sent to deliver good news that can make people glad. But according to Jesus, those who have received the good news are not sharing as they ought. It says back in Matthew 9, He said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And that's my prayer here this morning. That's my prayer for us as we begin this new year. You have been placed. We have been placed among the plentiful. There's a whole city out there. You have been placed to preach the gospel. You are where you are right now because God wants to use you there. And I want to close with this. And this is what I'm going to state here. It's rather obvious the instant that we think about it. And I heard this years and years ago. But have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered why God just doesn't take us home to heaven the instant we get saved? Why remain here in this sin-filled, suffering world? And here's the obvious truth. And I bring this up only because while this is very easy for all of us to understand, so many of us believers live like we don't understand it. We live as if we don't even know this information. And here it is. The only reason you and I are not in heaven right now is because God called us to labor in the gospel here. Now, obviously, we are told in Scripture that everything we do is for the glory of God. That is our ultimate purpose in life. But the only reason you and I are still here and not with God, where we can glorify Him perfectly, the only reason we're still here is to labor in the gospel. That's what we've been called to do. Are we participating? Are we laboring? How long would a school teacher keep his job if he went to school every day, went to his classroom every day, sat down at his desk every day, collected a paycheck every week, but never actually taught the class? That's the reason he's there. That's the main reason he's there. That is his job. I've used this illustration before, but it fits so well right here. By 1969, the USA spent over $25 billion. $25 billion to send Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins on the Apollo 11 mission to land, walk upon, and study the moon's surface. What if they'd got there and said, "I'm not getting out of the shuttle. That's too scary. I don't know enough. I don't know enough." But that's the mission. That was the mission. That was the reason they were there. Maybe they would have been left there until they accomplished what they were supposed to do. Maybe there's a parallel lesson in that for us. The only reason that we are not already in heaven right now is because God called us to labor in the gospel. It's why we're here. We're here for its furtherance in some way, shape, or form. And I guess my prayer again for us is that from this point, beginning this new year, that we might have a renewed interest, desire, maybe even a sense of urgency in doing that. Father, we do thank you. Thank you that you did give your Son to save us, that salvation is received through simple faith in the message of truth, that he came and delivered and gave us, commissioned us to deliver. Thank you for the opportunity that we had to hear the gospel and be harvested, be picked. But Lord, we also thank you that you've created us. You've made us new creatures, empowered by your Spirit to labor in that message for other people. Lord, you yourself had compassion on the lost. Lord, give us a renewed compassion for those around us, even those that we've shared this message with perhaps 100 times already. Lord, give us a new desire, a new compassion for those around us that are lost, that we might fulfill the call that you've given us. Thank you for this reminder, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, thank you.